Matthew 18, reading from verse 21 to verse 35. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was unable to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children, and that all that he had, and that the payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to each of you if from your heart, his heart, you do not forgive your brother his trespass. Father, you have designed the church in such a way that your word must be preached and that your people must hear it if they are to grow in the faith. Lord, your word says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Lord, let faith come this morning. Let maturity come. Let there be a deepening in the Christian walk by the hearing of your word. And Father, we pray that we would not hear what we want to hear, but that we would hear precisely what you want us to hear this morning. And Lord, that your word would have its intended effect on us. And so we look to you. We ask that you would, by your Spirit, bring your word to bear on our lives. We pray that by your Spirit, your word would be preached in its power and in its faithfulness, and that your people would hear you, and that they would obey you. And so we look to you now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I have to confess to you that I have already preached this message. I haven't preached it to you, mind you, and I have never preached it in another church before, but I have preached this message before. This past week I was talking with a young man, and I asked him a question, almost the same question that Peter asks Jesus in our story. And the question I asked him was this: how many times do you have to forgive somebody who sins against you? How often? And he said to me, three. Three times. I said, you mean like baseball? three times in your row? He says, exactly. You forgive somebody three times, and if they continue, you don't forgive them anymore. I said, well, what if somebody stole your car? I happen to know that he loves his car. He said to me, well, I would never forgive a person in that case. Well, what if they stole your computer? I also happen to know that he enjoys his computer. He said, well, it might take a couple of weeks, but when I settle down, I then might extend forgiveness. It seems that we all have this tendency to put limits on how many times we're going to forgive somebody, like Peter, for instance. Jesus has been just telling us, we looked at that last week, that we are to forgive each other. When a brother sins against you, what do? You forgive him when he comes, when she comes and asks you to forgive. Isn't that right? Now, Peter's listening, and the question that he has now is, how often? How often does this sort of thing have to happen? You see, Peter knew that in Jewish tradition that you were only required to forgive somebody three times. It was rabbinic tradition that you could forgive a person once and twice and three times, but after that you should not forgive a person anymore. They had taken passages from Amos chapter 1 where it seems that God only forgives three sins, and they had misinterpreted it. And the idea ran something like this: if God only forgives three times, then who are you to forgive more than that? And so when Peter comes to Jesus and says to him, Lord, how many times? Up to seven times. What he was doing was he was doubling the rabbinic tradition and adding one for safekeeping. And he was trying, in our Lord's eyes, to act magnanimous. He was trying to appear big-hearted before Jesus. He was trying to impress Jesus. But Jesus isn't impressed with the number. Because as Jesus goes on to say, he says, no, Peter, not up to seven, but up to 70 times seven. He takes Peter's number seven, and he multiplies it by two biblically perfect numbers, 7 and 10, and comes up with the number 490. Now, the issue is not that you forgive a person 490 times, and on the 491st, you no longer extend forgiveness. No, Jesus comes up with this huge number, 490. Let's be honest, friends. It's hard to keep track of 490 cases. Wouldn't you forget where you were in that number? I think that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to forget. He doesn't want us to keep track. What's he saying? He's saying this. He's saying that as often as somebody comes to you seeking forgiveness, you extend forgiveness. There should be no limit set on how often we extend forgiveness to a brother or sister who comes to us seeking that forgiveness. That's the thrust of what Christ is teaching here. And to make it clear in our minds, he gives this parable. A parable is a story. And it's a story about the kingdom of heaven. It's a story that tells about how we are to live as those who forgive within the kingdom of heaven. How we should conduct ourselves as citizens of this kingdom. And Jesus says that there are two really important reasons why you must be willing to extend forgiveness as often as somebody comes along and asks for it. And the first reason is this: because God has forgiven you all your sins. Because God has forgiven you for all your sins. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Now, servants in those days, were, according to this story, are not the sort of people that were cleaning out the house, sweeping floors, and so forth. They were officials, government officials. And now and then, a king would want to collect his taxes. And these governing officials were responsible for going and collecting taxes. And one of these servants, we're told, was called before the king. He owed 10,000 talents. Now, to those of us who live in a culture which deals with dollars, the whole idea of a talent doesn't really mean a whole lot. But a talent was a heck of a lot of money. One talent was about $1,000. This guy owed 10,000 talents, which means Equivalently, this guy owed about $10 million. Now, 900 talents was about, was the revenue collected from all the provinces in Idumea, Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. 900 talents was about all the revenue that they would collect from all those provinces. This guy owed 10,000 talents, which means that he owed about 11 years in back taxes. This man worked for the next 2,000 years. He would not have been able to pay back the king. This guy was in debt. This guy had a debt he could not possibly repay. And there he is outside the throne room, and he's ushered into the king's presence. And the king wants his 10,000 talents, but he doesn't have it. We don't know what he did with it. We don't know how he could possibly squander that much money, but he doesn't have the cash to repay. And so the king says, well, then you and your family and all that you own will be sold to pay. And even that would only pay back a fraction of everything that he owed the king. This man, we're told, knowing he had no other recourse, fell down and begged the king and said, Master, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And that, my friends, is a picture of the unbeliever before God. The debt that the unbeliever has before God is so enormous that there is no way that he can ever pay it back. It is an incalculable amount. The Bible calls sin debt. And every unbeliever is so indebted to God that there is no way that he will ever be able to pay it. Ever. He will spend his eternity trying to pay back that debt to God. Every sin is a sin against an infinitely holy God. And that means that retribution must be nothing less than infinite. Even for one sin, God would be justified to send a person to hell to pay back that sin for all eternity. One sin. God said to Adam, on the day that you eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what happens to you? You die. You die forever. We have such a feeble view of sin. You meet people out in the street. You ask them, how will they ever make the shores of heaven? And what do they say to you? Well, I believe that when the time comes when I stand before God, he's going to weigh my sin against my good deeds, as though we have any good deeds. The Bible says even our righteousness is like filthy rags. And they think somehow that their good is going to outweigh their bad, and that God will let them in. Friends, there's such a weak view of the enormity of sin against the holy God. For one sin, God will thrust a person into infinite, everlasting torment. For one, his holiness is so great that nothing less would be just. That's what he demands because of our sin. We think of all the sin we commit for one. God's anger is aroused and will be justified to condemn you to everlasting torment without mercy, without end. And this is what the unbeliever faces. Those people that you see wandering, milling about day to day, this is where they're going. unless their debt is repaid. This is where you would have been, friends. Had God not shown mercy to you, you would have been staring at the face of eternal torment and punishment. It had to be that way. Each of us here this morning was just like this man, with a 10,000 talent debt. No way to pay it back. There's no way. What do you do in that case? What does a person do? There's only one recourse, and that is to beg for mercy. And that's what this man does. He says, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. He doesn't got it quite right, but there's something in his heart that's good in that confession. He knows that he can't pay it back. He's throwing himself on the mercy of the king. And the king, we're told, looks down at him, and he is moved with compassion. And he does something remarkable. He releases him and forgives him the entire debt. 1 minute, he's out in the hallways. He's shaking. He knows he owes the king more than he's got, more than he'll ever have. And he leaves that throne room, owing the king nothing. He leaves the throne room, and the king is $10 million out of pocket. That's us. That's you. But my friends, we have to understand something here. The king will not allow himself to go $10 million out of pocket. The account must be settled. For us to go, somebody pays the debt. And who that was, my friends, was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father put the debt on him. And the Son paid back that debt on the cross of Calvary. He paid that incalculable, unpayable debt by taking upon him infinite wrath in your place. And you go free. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God in him. How's that for a deal? You're free. The debt's been cleared. It's been paid. Now, surely, my friends, I've got to say something when it comes to dealing with each other. Because if God has dealt with you in that respect, if God has cleared the debt, if He has put the whole thing on His Son and made His Son to pay it for you, then who are you to exact debt from your brother or your sister? If God has forgiven you your sins in Jesus Christ, who are you to refuse to forgive the sins of those who come to you seeking it? Forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32 says this, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. You see what he's saying here? He's saying, you look to what God has done for you in Jesus Christ, and let that be your example. Let that be your standard in dealing with one another. God has been amazingly gracious and merciful to you. You ought to show that same kind of mercy to those around you. You see, why should we forgive each other? Why should you forgive a brother who comes to you, a sister who comes to you, who sinned? Why? Look at your own life. Look at how good God has been to you. Think about that. Jesus is saying, think about that. Think about that. When he comes to you, when she comes to you, and you're tempted to just say, not so sure about that, Jesus says, you think about what my son has done for you. You think about the debt that's been cleared for you. You think about the fact that at one time you were 10,000 talents in the hole, and how God has moved that, and how you owe not a single penny. And you don't exact that penny from your brother or your sister. You forgive them because in Christ Jesus, God has forgiven you. That's the first great reason why we are to forgive, and to forgive no matter how many times a brother or sister comes to you. He's forgiven all of your sins. Who are you to retain any sins of your brother or your sister? But there's another reason here. And it's a solemn reason. It's a grave reason. It's a sobering reason. And it's this. Because refusal to forgive your brother or sister puts you in danger of hell. Forgiving, refusing to forgive your brother or sister puts you in danger of hell. You know, you would think that this man, when he had been forgiven his debt, would have bounded out of the palace, would have taken the first person, grabbed the first person, and said, you won't believe what the king's done for me. I owed him 10,000 talents. He forgave the whole thing. I'm off. I'm free. I'm clear of the debt. What does he do? We're told that he goes out and he grabs a servant who owed him 100 denarii, a mere pittance in comparison. He didn't go out and just happen to meet this guy. That would have been unconscionable. But the fact that this guy goes out and intentionally goes and finds this guy and grabs him by the throat before the guy even has a chance to say, here's the money, if he even had it. He begins to throttle this guy and says to him, pay me what you owe. Pay it now. Because he couldn't. He had the man thrown in jail. Now, fortunately or unfortunately for him, some of his servants were looking out. And they went and they told the king all that had happened. We're not told what his immediate response was, but you can imagine he's beginning to shake. He's beginning to come undone with fury and anger. He's thinking about the mercy he's extended to this servant. And now how he hears that this same servant whose debt he cleared has gone out and for 100 denarii exacted justice. He calls him in. Pulls him up on the carpet. And he says to him, you wicked servant. You unbelievably wicked servant. I forgave you that debt of 10,000 talents. And for a pocket full of cash, you had your fellow servant thrown into prison. He hands more to the tormentors, where he is tormented endlessly. In Christ comes now to the apex, to the whole thrust of the story. And he says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Christ is not teaching us here that if we don't forgive our brothers and sisters, that he's going to reverse our pardon. That's not what he's teaching. He's telling a simple story. He's not asking us to press it at every end. He's asking us to take the story as a whole. He's teaching us a very significant truth. The same truth he teaches in another place, in Matthew 7:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive your brother his trespasses, neither will my Heavenly Father forgive you. In other words, if you don't show forgiveness, what you're really showing is that you know nothing of the mercy of God. You're showing yourself to be an unbeliever. If you hold back in the forgiveness department, when a brother or sister humbles himself or herself, goes to you, asking for forgiveness, and you shut the door in their face, you are saying, I know absolutely nothing about the mercy of God. I am showing that I have never been forgiven in my life. Because those who have been forgiven, who know what that is, show it. Have you forgiven everybody? Is there somebody who's done you wrong in your life and they've come to you and they've sought forgiveness and you've not extended that forgiveness? Are you acting this morning like that gentleman who owed 10,000 talents? And yet, for a pocket full of cash, you refuse to forgive your brother or sister that day. Jesus' words are very sobering. He says, if we act this way, friends, if we withhold that forgiveness, he says, we are putting ourselves in the way of hell. We're proving ourselves to be unborn, unregenerate, unbelievers. Have you forgiven your brother or sister for the stuff they've done against you? Don't take this lightly. Christ is not telling us to deal with this lightly. He's saying, your Heavenly Father will deal with you this way. My Heavenly Father will deal with you this way if you withhold forgiveness. It angers him. It angers him. It's not good enough, other friends, just to say to him, say to your sister who comes along and says, please forgive me for the sin. Yeah, I forgive you, but in your heart, you're holding out on me. It's not good enough. We're not called here to lip service. Jesus says, so my Heavenly Father will also do to you if from your heart you refuse to forgive. You know what that means? That means that in your heart you are no longer bearing a grudge. You have no ill feelings towards your brother or sister. You're not looking for justice. It means that when you think of them, you're not thinking of the terrible thing that they did to you. It means that you're banishing that from your mind. It means that you want good for them. It means where that relationship has been strained, that you're welcoming them back into that level of intimacy that maybe you had before. You're not giving them the cold shoulder. It means that you're loving them. And love is not a feeling, my friends. In the book, it's an action. Things we do. If you forgive your brother for this from your heart, it means that you show them good. You treat them kindly. You treat them as though they've never done anything wrong to you. It doesn't mean you forget. It doesn't mean you're not wise, but it does mean that you don't harbor a bitter root in your heart. It does mean that you treat them lovingly, as though they've done nothing at all. Jesus says, that's why I want you to forgive. I want you to let things go. I want you to really forgive. I don't want you to say, I forgive you, but then cling on to stuff in your heart. I want you to give it for good. You say, well, how do you do that? When I talked to that man this week and I said to him, here's what Jesus requires. He says, you are to forgive your brother every time he comes to you. He said, that's tough. And it is tough. Very difficult. But friends, only the grace of God can do that. When you've been so wounded, so injured, it can be so hard to say, I forgive, and to really be able to say that from the heart and show that it's true. But you know what? The grace of God can help you to do that. The grace of God can do that. It really can. And so you are to pray for that grace. You are to say, God, change my heart because I do have bad feelings towards this brother or sister. I don't like this brother or sister. Every time I see this brother or sister, I want to turn away and walk. And I want to be mean. And I want to be cold. And I want to give them attitude. I want them to be punished. It seems too easy to say, I forgive you, and it's done. But Jesus says, you must. And where you find the grace to be able to do that, my friend, is at my throne of grace. That's where hearts get changed. And that means that you go somewhere in the secrecy of your heart, you cry out to God and say, God, get a hold of my heart. God, change me. Because for the life of me, I want justice. But I know you want me to show mercy. I don't have that within me. And you get yourself in the presence of God and you let God take your heart. You let God shape it and mold it until your heart is like a king who will release 10,000 talents onto the head of his son for you, that you would go free. My friend, God does change hearts. He can take somebody who has done the most vilest thing to you, who has wronged you and hurt you beyond human recovery. You can change your heart. You can be different from the world that we live in, where for the smallest infraction, people are written off for the rest of their lives. You can be different. And the grace of God changes His people so that they are different. One of the most remarkable stories that I know of this, apart from our Lord Jesus Christ, it's a story about a woman called Corrie ten Boom, who was a prisoner of war during the Second World War. And she was captured, her and her sister Betsy, and they were in a German concentration camp, and they were treated so badly. In fact, so badly that her sister died, especially because of one officer's cruelty. And years later, after the war, she was at some function, and she's greeting people and saying hello when she sees this outstretched hand. And she follows that hand up to an arm and a face that she recognized. It was a German officer who was essentially responsible for her sister's death. And this man had become a Christian after the war. And there he was asking for Corey's forgiveness. And Corey recounts the difficulty that she had extending her hand and issuing that forgiveness. But she prays that that moment God changes her heart and she's able to extend that hand and extend forgiveness. This is her sister. This is her life. And here this villain, now her brother in the Lord, is waiting for forgiveness. Who can change a heart like maybe this morning you need a change of heart. Maybe you've been injured. Carelessly. Maybe the person who's done it hasn't even come forward to ask your forgiveness. God says, you come to me and you let me change your heart. You let me soften that heart of yours. You let me make your heart ready to forgive that person. I'll do that. So when you see that person, you're not holding a grudge. You're not embittered. But your heart is flowing with mercy and compassion. My friends, that's who we are to be. We are to be like that. Because God has been like that for us. You see that? That's what Christ is teaching us here. God has shown us that mercy. We are to show that mercy. We are to be like Him. We are to be like our Heavenly Father. Now, has He shown you mercy? Has He shown you mercy? Then you show mercy. And you can. I'm not saying it will be easy, but I'm saying it's possible. I'm saying that in doing that, friend, you are showing yourself to be a child of the King. You are showing that living as a citizen in the kingdom of God is your life. You're showing yourself to be different. And that's what Christ would have from you, child of God. He wants you to show mercy. Because that's what He's shown you. So you go show the same. Amen. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray, Lord, that we would be people who are quick to settle accounts and that we would actually keep short accounts. We ask, Lord, that our hearts would be ready and warm to welcome those who seek forgiveness, and that in doing so that we would see the family mended and restored and acting as one, unified in love. Father, we pray that the forgiveness that You have shown us will impress itself upon us, and that it will shape us into those who forgive, that we will be just like You in this way. And so we ask for grace, Lord. And I ask that You would particularly give grace to those who have been so deeply hurt. And especially, Lord, those people who are yet to see the perpetrator come forward and seek forgiveness. I pray, Father, that You would ready their hearts. I pray, Father, that an opportunity would come where they would be able to extend that forgiveness freely and joyfully. Lord, help us to be like this. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.